Hey everybody, welcome. Well, I'm driving out for my last flight out for workshop. It's pretty fucking exciting, if I can say so myself. My plane has been delayed by about an hour. I received this message at probably the worst possible time, which was at home, but right before I was leaving. So it was in between. I jumped in the shower. I don't jump in the shower. That's fucking dangerous. But I got in the shower, got out, and by the time I got out, it was, I had the text that was like, your flight's been delayed about an hour, and I was like, God damn it. When you want to get the delay, message at 6 a.m. Because then you're like, I'm sleeping another hour, which I easily could have done. Or, you know, if you get it at the airport, I guess that's bad too. But now, like in hindsight, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's worse. Because really, it's just whatever. But the good news is I got some shit done. I have a tip for everyone. A helpful snowman tip. I don't know if we've done a helpful thing on here in years. We used to have, like, our helpful tips, and that's like, hey, that's the show, you know? It's like, what a helpful thing we've done. Here's my helpful snowman tip. Don't go to the fucking post office. Go to the UPS store. I'm telling you, it's 1,000 times better. I sent 3 packages. One with the pre-printed label. One, you know, that was a book that just needed a label, and one that was in this box, and I was like, I don't know, do we need to package this? Whatever. The lady working there was totally competent, totally friendly, and it was easy. It was easy as fuck. And here's the best part, because the one thing I was thinking was like, well, you know, this is a book, one of these things, I'd like to ship it media mail. Because that's like 7 to 10 days and costs half as much. And you can ship post office media mail from the UPS store. I don't know if I'll ever go to the post office again. It was so much better. And it's just like, you know, the people who work at this post office aren't bad. But every time you go there, there's a line, you know, 1,000 people long. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how long the line is. And it's one of those super frustrating lines where you're like, nobody is ready with their shit when they get up to the desk, even though we've all just been standing around for like 20 minutes. You know, they get there. Here's what sucks about the post office. There's a post office probably 5 minutes from my work. If I go and get a sandwich and then drive to the post office, I might make it back to work on time if I go on my lunch hour. If I have 1 hour... and total 15 minutes of driving, let's say. Even let's call it a 15 minutes of getting a sandwich, which is probably being generous, but whatever. Half hour of post office, probably not quite enough. So anyway, there's some stuff in the mail, which is exciting. I mean, that's not exciting, but I have this sort of massive to-do list that's been building as I've been traveling for this workshop, right? Like, this workshop has basically become my life for the last 3 months. And this is kind of the end of it being my life, because I'm going out, I'm going to be in Portland for the entire week, I'll go to the last workshop, and then I come home. And so that's pretty exciting. And I can kind of get back to doing some things, or like, you know, clearing the docket, as it were. Been keeping up on the show pretty good. Assuming that you like these fucking car shows that I've been doing, that I'm not just rambling into nowhere. On the last show, I was talking about the title of a story and had to use a discouraging word, let's call it, and had to like remaster and censor it, because I meant to censor it in spectacular fashion. And then I'm still not totally sure. There was something weird going on with the upload and everything when I was trying to do that. So I'm not 100% sure. So hopefully that worked out. But if it didn't, you know, sorry, I tried. I really did try. It was very strange. I couldn't figure out whether or not it was working. I also uploaded all the shows up to this point and like mastered them and stuff. And I think this show will probably go up like the beginning of June, which is really far away. This is the end of March that you're hearing, that I'm talking into this microphone. So like our timelines are different. So who knows? I may be dead. I may be alive. I may be more alive than I've ever been by the time you hear this. Things may be different is what we're getting at. I realized that on the last show I never actually got to the worst person of the trip, which I meant to. And the worst person of the trip came at the tail end, because what happened was I got back to Denver. I got to the parking lot. Now, the parking lots at the airport are pretty like well organized. As you're driving in, there's a big light up sign and it tells you like park in one of these rows, and you're like, all right, can do. You know, and it's usually like M through Z or something, because everyone wants to park in A through whatever, because it's kind of closer, but not really. It all depends on where you walk into the airport, but none of them are far. Let's put it that way. But fuckers is always trying to cheat the system, you know? They're like, well, all these other idiots are going to M through Z. I'm going to be in, you know, Q or something. Or, you know, I'll be in A. So last time I went, it was a higher thing. I think I was parked in, like, J or something like that. Higher than normal. And so I parked in J. And as I'm walking out to my car, I'm, like, getting in putting my bag in my car and stuff. And then this fucker in a huge pickup sits there and is just waiting for me to move. Now, here's what's fucking annoying about this is because... So when I get back to the airport, I get my clothes out of the trunk, change into my gym clothes, and then drive to the gymnasium. The reason being, that's the only way I'm going to make it there on Tuesday. Tuesday is probably the best day for me to go. And also, I've been, like, on a train and an airplane, and it's like, you should move around a little bit, Pete. You should do something. So, you know, it takes me a minute, though. It takes a little time to, like, change out and do all this. And this fucking guy is just waiting the whole time. And if it was me, I'd be going nuts. Because I'd be like, what the fuck is taking them so long? But here's what makes this person the worst person. It's not like there's nowhere else to park. There might not be anywhere else to park in row J, but there were tons of other places to park. And I was very annoyed at this person who was sitting there waiting for me. It's not like, you know, when you're in a parking garage and you're like, I've explored the like three or four floors, there's like nowhere to park. And then you see someone's backup lights turn on and you're like, all right. You know, it felt like I was being stalked in the parking lot. And it was like, I'm going to take this guy's space. But then it was sort of unnecessary. Because it's like, I mean, you could just, like, pull into any of these many other spaces. Pull into another space, of which there are many. Go to another row. And he would have been in the airport. I couldn't believe he waited. I changed clothes. I took my backpack and put it in the trunk again. I did all that shit. He waited the entire time for me to do that, rather than just find another spot. I do not understand people at all. But such is life, I guess. I don't know. He was the worst person. I think part of it, too, was like the reversal. One of my ways that I judge people, you know, of a quality of someone's character. It's like Ben Franklin, I'm sure, has some saying about, oh, this is the mark of a man's quality or something. My mark of a man's quality is how long it takes him from when he parks his car till he gets out of his car. And then also from how long it takes from when you start getting in the car until you're leaving the parking lot. It should be almost no time. But, you know, what happens is people have kids and stuff, and then it takes forever. And they park, and it takes them like 4 or 5 minutes to get from the car to the inside of the place. And that makes me crazy. Because I'm just like, how can you waste that much time? Like, how can you spend that much time doing basically nothing? I now understand why, you know, I mean, my mom was good about it, but, like, if I was a parent, I'd be like, I don't want to fucking take this kid to the grocery store. Why? So they can annoy me and not help the whole time, and it takes me, like, twice as long to do it because they're just, like, sitting there in the cart going, like, I want, you know, Count Chocula, and I'm like, yeah, me too, but, you know, I am your parent, so I can't really buy that for you. You gotta buy that with your own money, of which you have none, so you can't have it. Let's do the math on that. But that was the worst person of that that go-around. I read a shitload of comics yesterday. Yesterday I had the day off. I didn't really have to do anything. I didn't have to prepare anything for this trip. So I just kind of made it a comic book extravaganza. And, goddamn. These fucking trucks, man. This truck gets in the left lane, and he's going slightly slower than the truck in the right lane. And you're just like, why are you doing this? Why? Or they get in the left lane, and they're turning left, so that's fine. But they get in the left lane so early. I mean, like, miles ahead of where... And this isn't a crowded road. It's not like, well, I might not be able to do it later. It's like, yeah, I think you'll be fine. Anyway, I read a bunch of comics yesterday. So I was going to talk a little about those. I think this should be tolerable for people who don't read comics. But I don't know. I started with, Earth X, which was one I started on the plane last time and finished up yesterday. It's like a classic Marvel book. I would say it was pretty good. It's got these little codas at the end of each chapter or book or whatever that's just all text, not really any illustrations and stuff. That's pretty dense. And like 90% of this, here's my complaint. 90% of the story happens in these all text bits instead of like throughout the book. Or 90% of the exposition, maybe. And that's really annoying. Because it's like, well, oh my God. I'm going 15 miles an hour and I'm going too fast. 10 miles an hour. We're going uphill onto the highway where cars are going to be going 75. Jesus Christ. This is insane. Sometimes it feels like people are just trying to punish you, doesn't it? All right, here we go. Overtaking maneuver. Most of the exposition happened in the non-comic book portion, which I find annoying. I mean, like, Watchmen by Alan Moore does the opposite thing. It has these extended metaphor portions that are all text. Or, like, kind of background information. But you can totally read the entire book without even touching those. So I think that's a little better. This one, those portions were, like, significant portions of the exposition. You wouldn't... I don't think you would even get it without that. But it was decent. I mean, read Marvels. That's better. Another thing is we were tricked by this in the 90s because... There's this guy, Alex Ross, who did this really great comic book art. It was like paintings, you know, and he did the art. So he did like Kingdom Come and Marvels were his two big books that he illustrated. And so he was on, you know, he was one of the banner premier names on Earth X, but he was just doing the covers. He wasn't doing everything, if I remember correctly. It wasn't all like painted watercolor stuff. Some of it was like this... drawing that was like an interesting style. Maybe that's his drawing and not painting, but it didn't look, it's not as good, it's not as sharp. Sometimes in action sequences it was a little unclear what exactly was happening, so I didn't love that. I would say if you're a big Marvel fan and you never read it, especially if you're a big Marvel fan in like the 90s, go for it. Otherwise, I'd say skip it. Okay, then I read a bunch of new DC Rebirth books. Because everyone was saying, like, the New 52 was shit, and the Rebirth was good. So the New 52 was, like, a few years ago. DC Comics relaunched all its titles. So, you know, they kind of started from scratch with all their titles. And they had 52 titles that came out. I read the first issue of all of them. And I would say there was four or five that seemed pretty good. Aquaman was pretty good. Lots of people liked the Batman books that came out of that. I think Batman was the main one. When I say Batman books, it's like there's Batman, Detective Comics, all this shit. I hated it. It was like... The art was great. Greg Capullo or something was great, but Scott Snyder was the writer, and he immediately went to the well of, like, I think it was, like, two issues in or something, and Batman is trapped in this labyrinth where he's been fed these, like, hallucinogens. So he's, like, hallucinating, and you as the reader don't know what's real and what's not, but you're kind of like, I mean, nothing is real. Does it matter? Who cares? Like, this is all made-up fiction, so... Whatever you make up is... I hate that. It's such a cheap way around having to write a story, because you're like... I mean, if you just gave Batman some crazy hallucinogen, you could just put him in a fucking cardboard bag. Cardboard bag. A paper bag that he couldn't fight his way out of, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, yeah, I mean, if you gave me hallucinogens, it's like, here's a story about a time I tried to do something on hallucinogens. But the thing I'm trying to do is the thing you've watched me do 1,000 times. You know, because Batman is always fighting crime and fighting bad guys, right? And, like, the craziness of the Joker does not require hallucinogens to be interesting. Or, you know, like, a well-laid plan to trap the Batman does not require, like, dosing him with fucking shrooms. And that's, like, the well that they went to so early. And then, you know... There was also, I think, a time travel thing. I think that was his thing. I don't know. I think it was. So I was like, I mean, within the first little bit, maybe the time travel was right before. I can't remember. The point being, they went to my two least favorite storytelling things, which is time travel and altered states of your main character. And not impressed. Didn't enjoy that. So I gave up on that immediately. So anyway, New 52 didn't do a lot for me. The Flash was like a great first issue and then completely fell off after that. Green Lantern was like so up its own ass already. Like I was thinking, I'm going to have to read like 2 years of comics before this. This is the thing with the New 52. They relaunched everything, which I think like the risk reward is when you're a comic book, you relaunch. And the risk is every new point of restart is a point for people to jump off. The reward is it's also a point for people to jump on. But they kind of, what they did is they did it halfway. So they didn't reboot everything, and they didn't reboot everything all the way. They kind of just picked and chose what they wanted. You know, like, they rebooted Action Comics, it seemed like, Superman book. Which is fine, you know, it's basically they rebooted stuff that wasn't selling a ton and kept stuff that was the same. Which I guess makes sense, but at the same time, as a new reader, I was like, well, I don't care then. Then I don't care. So Rebirth, I was told, is pretty good. What I've read so far, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm really into it. So Rebirth is like their new thing. They're kind of doing it again. So I started with Superman. Here's the thing. Superman, in this universe, is not the same Superman. So there was a Superman from another Earth who basically had the same history as the Superman from our Earth. Somehow he ended up on this Earth with his Earth's version of Lois Lane, and they also have a son who has some superpowers and shit. And, and the Superman of this Earth is dead at this point. And I don't love, Nobody, I don't know why they can't learn this lesson in stories. Nobody likes when you do that version of that swap. I'll give you an example. When you did Spider-Man and you have the clone saga, and it's like, wait a minute, the Peter Parker who I've known and loved is not the Peter Parker I've known and loved. Or they did this on Futurama and apparently got a bunch of emails and shit about it because they had Bender, the robot, and at some point he was switched, so he was like a clone, maybe, or something. Or like his own evil twin or whatever. And you're just like, wait a second. So this isn't the character that I like, right? This is a different character. Even though it's a clone, even though it's essentially the same character, it's not the same person. And this is like, this really speaks to how I feel about character swaps in general, right? Which is like, hey man, I'm definitely a believer in nature, and I'm definitely a believer in nurture. It's both. Like, it's impossible to separate. But I don't think that, like, okay, twins who are separated at birth, who are genetically identical, let's say clones even, let's just go clones, genetically identical, grow up in very, very similar circumstances, I still don't think they're going to turn out exactly the same. You know, maybe that's a limit of my imagination, but I just don't think that's going to work. So in the comics, often it's like, oh, they're basically the same and da-da-da-da. And I think this is the thing, is like, if you can just swap the character, then maybe there wasn't... Maybe A, there wasn't enough of a character there to begin with, or B, you didn't really understand the character. It just seems like kind of a... Sometimes when they do a character swap, it's interesting, and sometimes when they do a character swap, it's like a cheap way to basically... Now you can recycle a lot of the same material. Because you're like, well, now it's so-and-so going through this instead of such-and-such. But it's basically the same. I don't understand the point of it. Is the point of it just to make people unhappy? Like, just to... Is it sort of... I could see trying it in the past. Because you would be like, yeah, no one will be mad. It's a clone. It's whatever. But then once people were like, no, it's not the same. Because I think here's the thing. I tend to believe that, like, if I was cloned, okay, my clone would be like me. But the second, you know, that clone is created, our paths begin to diverge, right? And our, you know, even if neither of us is aware of which is the clone, I think our paths will have begun to diverge, and then we'll be different, right? We'll be slightly different. I mean, we'll be shockingly alike, but overall, there will be some slight differences, right? I mean, isn't that how this works? I'm no scientist. Anyway, so then it's like this new Superman. But the thing is, he's a new Superman who's essentially the old Superman. And the mileage they get out of this is mostly about, like, Batman doesn't necessarily trust him the way he learned to trust the old Superman. And so Superman is kind of trying to earn Batman's trust. And Batman is playing the old Batman game of, like, I keep my friends close and my enemies closer. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's a story we've seen because they've done it before, because it needed to be done before, and then it didn't, but now they figured out a way to basically make it need to be done again. So I didn't love that. And then also, yeah, okay. I mean, so Superman, all these new books, except for one, I thought the art was great. So the art was great. But overall, I don't love, you know, Batman has a son now. Superman in this book has a son. And they're like the same age, you know. And there's like a Father's Day issue that was very cute. But didn't... I guess I don't necessarily read comics for the cute stories. I mean, I think they've got to be... Boy, it's got to be pretty damn cute in order to make it worthwhile for me to be like, you know, that was cute, but also worth it. And I don't think this quite got there for me. And it was very silly and weird. in not in a good way. Like, I just didn't get it. So I don't love this addition of like, let's throw a kid in there. It's starting to feel like they're in the sitcom days, you know, where it was like, what do they do on Full House when things start to get stale? Well, let's throw in another kid. You know, let's throw in twins this time. It's like, yeah, how long is it going to be before Green Lantern has twins? I mean, some shit like that. But anyway, and you know, like, Batman's son was a little more interesting because it was like a secret baby that he didn't know about, who was then raised by, you know, evil assassins, basically. So he came with training and everything to be Robin, and so Batman's kind of trying to train him a different way. And they argue a lot about, you know, hey, let's just fucking stab this guy in the eyes, you know, and Batman's like, no, we don't do that. And his son is like, maybe we should. So I think in some ways, his son, Damian, is sort of like the reader who's like, listen, Batman, I mean, I don't know. You know what I love about Batman stuff is if you ever played any of the games like Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, super fun, by the way, good stuff. But you'll like jump down from like a 10-story building and plant both your feet in the back of some guy's neck. And then he's like knocked out, supposedly, and you're seeing his like heartbeat on your little bat monitor thing or whatever. And it's like he's unconscious and you're like, that motherfucker is dead. Let me just tell you right now, if someone got hit by a wrecking ball that hit them in the back of the neck, and that wrecking ball weighed like, I don't know, what do you think a Batman weighs? 250? Something like that. And just planted right in the back of their neck from a 10-story swing, I don't think that motherfucker is going to survive. I'm fairly confident. I don't know as much about superheroing as Batman. I'm prepared to admit that. But I'm also able to look at it honestly and say, I don't know, man. I don't know about what you're, I don't know if I buy what you're selling here. So anyway, that's Superman, even though I spent the whole time talking about Batman. Okay, I read Justice League. Pretty boring. There was one good run of Justice League that I've ever read, which was Grant Morrison did in the 90s, and it was fucking awesome. You know what's cool about it, too, is, like, all the characters were kind of useful in their own ways, and they sort of, like, that was, I guess, it. There were a lot of things that showcased the usefulness of different characters, and here's the big thing. And this is like something that in the comic movies happens a lot and is seeping into the books as well. The enemies they fight are not interesting. The enemy they fought in Justice League was something called like, I can't even fucking remember now, the Infernals or something, or the Eternals or whatever. And it was basically just this sort of amorphous squid-like creatures would attach to people's heads and then made them march into this giant form that would form these giant humanoid figures that, you know, said this vague shit about our song and the destruction of the Earth, and they were basically destroying the Earth for no real reason. Earth-X, let me put this in opposition to Earth-X. Earth-X had some, like, very human villains and stuff like that, and then, so, spoiler alert for Earth-X, if you're ever going to read it. So Earth-X is based on this premise, and I'll wrap this up in 1 minute. So if you wanted to skip ahead 1 minute. Earth-X is based on the premise that what happened is these celestial beings implanted... the Earth is basically an egg to hatch another celestial being. And humans are put on the Earth as a sort of antibody system, because other things in the cosmos are going to come and try and destroy this egg. And so, you know, these seeds are implanted within the human race to become superpowered, and that's why we could defeat Galactus and shit like that, is to protect this egg, which will eventually hatch, which is, of course, the end of the world. So that's like a end of description. So that's a situation where you're like, well, you've got this sort of huge scale bad guy, this big philosophical situation, but it makes sense and you understand what they're doing and why. And it, in fact, it makes more sense than, you know, someone trying to rob a bank, because you're like, I mean, it's more far fetched and more crazy, but also it's like, well, something's happening and I can understand why. I understand the very basics of why all this is happening. The DC version of that and the newer version of that is like, weird squid-like aliens are taking things over because they just, you know, and it's always destroying the Earth. And it's, this is how I feel about the Avengers movies, what kind of stinks about them, and why I do have some hope for Infinity War, because you're like, well, you've got Thanos. For those of you who don't know, Thanos was in the comics long ago, and basically he went on this quest to impress a girl, but the girl was Death, and he fell in love with Death and was like, well, how do you impress Death? And he's like, I don't know, I'll fucking, you know, wipe out a bunch of shit, that'll impress her. And so you're like, you know, this is crazy. I mean, it's a very crazy premise, but at the same time, you're like, I mean, I understand the basic premise of a guy doing something outrageous and stupid to impress a girl. That is not a, that's a pretty, like, relatable and understandable premise, you know, and then scaled up. A bunch of things just coming to a place to destroy a thing for no... You know, the first Avengers movie. What exactly were those aliens doing? You know, Loki somehow teamed up with a bunch of crazy aliens that were here to destroy the Earth because something. Ultron wanted to destroy the human race because, like, the human race was flawed and robots are perfect. Kind of get that, but then you got to look at like this, I think. Like, so he's going to fight the Avengers, and you're like, but wait a minute, are they really human? I mean, is the Hulk human? Can you argue that the Hulk has human flaws, or does he have different flaws? Anyway, this is getting way too deep, but point being, Justice League, they kind of fought this, like, faceless swarm. And I'm sort of tired of the faceless swarm as enemy, because I think it just... If you have a character, like a villain character, who's, like, interesting, you've got twice as much story. You've got twice as much movie, right? I mean, when you've got a villain who wants something, who makes sense, who's trying to do something, then you've got something. When you've got a villain who's just like, I just want to fuck shit up and, for unclear reasons and whatever... Like, even, you know, famous, right? Dark Knight movie, the Joker. I mean, that's a character who's just an agent of chaos. So you could make a similar complaint. But I would say that that character still works because he's very... That's exactly what he's doing. Like, there's no illusion about the fact that he is there to fuck shit up. And his purpose is chaos. And it's on a scale that makes sense for that character, you know, and it's like, this is becoming a bigger problem than we thought. But overall, you're like, I get what he's doing. I get why he's doing it. And it's crazy, but it also, it has a logic to it. You know, he's only doing it to make things chaotic. So then I read Justice League America, not to be confused with Justice League. Now, Justice League America, I had high hopes for because it was the return of one of my favorite characters from the 90s, Lobo, who's basically an asshole space biker with crazy superpowers, who, you know, is a bounty hunter or something. So I was like, okay, cool, maybe we'll see something fun happen here. Well, I'll say this. People have been giving shit to DC because I think, you know, they see Marvel making progressive diversity moves that DC isn't making. And I'm here to say I don't think that's true. Justice League America features a very diverse cast. And it even featured each... So the collection, you know, the collected deluxe edition, it has the an issue that features most of the characters in their own entire issue. So you get to know, like, the new Ray, who's, like, a... who's a gay guy, right? Who's been oppressed by his mom and whatever. There's a... can't remember what her name is. Anyway, she's like the new she's basically Animal Man. I mean, she can take on animal powers. And you know, it spends very little time discussing her superpowers and is more about like who she is, which is interesting too, cuz it's like she's I say it's interesting cuz it's not very interesting, cuz she's basically a supermodel slash philanthropist who then decides that she could do more. And then it turns out she was from like an African village and, you know, saw her dad gunned down or something. And so the backstory is okay. But again, it feels like something we've seen. And I'm not as interested in the... Okay, when we talk about diverse characters, it seems like often we're talking about, you know, race, gender, that kind of stuff, right? But they all are kind of perfect. I mean, it's like if Beyonce became a superhero, and you'd be like, well, okay. And it's sort of like, well, now, like, young black girls have a superhero they can identify with, which I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, okay. It was a mistake to think that I, as a young white kid, identified with Captain America. Because he was like a blonde, blue-eyed hunk, to use the parlance of the time of when I was growing up. And I was not. I mean, I didn't go through puberty till I was like 18. So when I was like 15 reading a Captain America book, I wasn't like, that makes me think I can do that. You know what I mean? I was sort of like... Well, I'm sure he can handle that, but I would probably die immediately. I didn't even look as good as Bucky. I mean, that guy could rock a domino mask like nobody's business. Anyway, I think it's kind of an interesting thing about the diversity in comics was that, like, assuming... It kind of assumes that, like, I, as a kid, identified with, like, Tony Stark and Peter Parker and, you know, Piotr Nikolaevich, because they looked like me, and I'm like, they didn't look like me at all. I mean, I don't think they look like me. Maybe if you look at it from a perspective of all white people look the same, regardless of whether they're, you know, 6'4 and ripped or 5'0 and 14 looking like they're going on 11. But whatever. Anyway, Justice League America, definitely of the ones I've read, you know, is a DC diversity book. And that's fine. I think that, like, overall, same exact problem as the other Justice League book, which is, like, they fought an enemy that's just not interesting. He wants to take over the world for basically no reason. He's got these other dudes with him who also want to take over the world for no reason. They kind of have a vague power set, so on and so forth. That's the thing. You know, when I was talking about this Grant Morrison Justice League book, interesting enemies. You know, interesting, like, what their powers, what their motives. They were, like, actual people, like, memorable people. There was one, I think it was called Proteus, who looked like sort of a knight. And this part's not dated well, but he had a thing on his head. It was basically a CD drive, and he could push information into his brain. So, like, you know, there's this great sequence where he basically is using this information to take down the Justice League. And so, like, you know, he's fighting Batman, and he puts in this disc, and he's like, this disc features, you know, all the knowledge of, like, the world's 50 greatest martial artists, Batman, and he's like, one of them is you. You know, I don't think your chances look too good here. And you've got those moments like that you're just like, ah, this is great. You know, And you don't have to do the thing. The thing that happens when they have these sort of faceless, nameless, whateverless enemies is like they go, they fight them, they don't really defeat them, then they have to come back and defeat them, right? That's like the classic comic book arc. But when you do it that way, if the characters have nothing about them that's like interesting or differentiating, you're like, well, when they come back the second time and they kick their ass, like, what was that? They wanted it more? I mean, how did that work? Why did the second time they were like able to defeat these guys? What changed? You know, and it's nothing. So anyway, that's Justice League America. I read Nightwing, which I had heard was good and thought was pretty much bullshit. I mean, I loved Nightwing. So Nightwing is the original Robin, goes out on his own and becomes Nightwing. This happened, I think, in the 90s as well. And there was a pretty good series. I enjoyed it at the time. I don't know what it's like now, but pretty good series of Nightwing in the early 90s where it was like his own book for the first time. And the art style was really different and interesting. I think it was written by Chuck Dixon, if I remember right. And the art, they did this cool thing in the art that you didn't see a lot. I think it had been done in some Daredevil books maybe where, you know, he'd be doing his acrobatic shit all across a sequence of rooftops, let's say. And he's doing all this shit, and it would show, like, sort of ghostly outlined versions of him, so you could trace his path, and he's, like, flipping over this and, you know, doing a handstand on this and so on. So it was, like, a lot of work, because, like, the artist who would draw a single panel would have to draw this layout and be like, okay, how is an acrobatic character going to get from this spot to this spot? And he'd have to draw each of those steps, right? But it made it super cool, and it made the book feel very alive. And this book doesn't feel super alive that way. Like, great Spider-Man books. One thing you can tell about a really good Spider-Man artist, rarely is Spider-Man just standing around or walking around, right? Like, they take every opportunity to make him do something Spider-Man-y instead of standing there with his arms crossed. I remember there was this Spider-Man game on Sega where there was this part, you're in this like little room, and it's like a little cartoon where he's thinking. Like, it's a between level thing, right? And he's kind of pacing the room, and then he goes up on the ceiling, and he's pacing on the ceiling. And you're like, yeah, that's what Spider-Man does. I mean, come on, man. That's what you need. So, Nightwing, just like, it didn't do a lot for me. I mean, I guess he was a spy for a while. Now he's going back to being Nightwing, but he was also being a spy. It introduced this new character that, I mean, there was nothing to care about with this character. He had a special glove, and he couldn't feel pain, I guess. But, you know, not like a super engaging character. Not one that I was like, oh my god, I can't wait to see what happens next with this guy. It was just kind of... And then there was Hellblazer, John Constantine. So John Constantine is basically this, let's call him a magician, master of the dark arts or some shit. That was mostly garbage, if you ask me, this time around. There's been some great Constantine Hellblazer books, and there has been some shit, man. There has been some garbage. If you get the first one, I think it's Jamie Delano. Oof. The art is bad. The writing, you can't even tell what's going on most of the time. Garth Ennis, I think, did some good ones. Who was did Warren Ellis do it for a while? It was Warren Ellis. And then maybe Grant Morrison. Somebody did the one. There's a great Hellblazer story called Dangerous Habits. Which is, I think, sums up the whole Hellblazer thing pretty well. And this one, it kind of, you know, it did like a knockoff of Dangerous Habits, and then they're trying to find this book, but the whole thing is very vague and floaty, and you don't really know what's going on most of the time. And I didn't love it. I gotta tell you, I did not love it. I didn't. I did not. As our friend Tommy Wiseau would say. I just thought it was kind of like... It was just so vague. Everything in it was so vague that I couldn't figure out why I cared. You know what I mean? Why do I care about this? I didn't. So I guess that's your answer. I didn't care about it. So there you go. I think that's most of what I read, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, comics, not loving it. Not in love with it at this point. I have to make a decision here about, like, what I'm doing, because I miss my turn off, kind of. So I got to kind of drive through here, I think, and try and go. I'm trying to park in the cheaper lot, because it'll cost me half as much, and I'm going to be here for, like, 7 days. And I've got the time, because I think I've got an hour and a half till my plane takes off right now. But, I missed my turnoff for my thing. I think I'm so used to going this way that I just zoomed right by. Anyway, I think that's most of the comics. So it's just kind of like, you know, okay, I'm going to go this way, even though this car is going like 1 mile an hour. Sometimes these motherfuckers... It's like people are either driving 65 or 10. And you're like, you know, you could do 20 here and be very safe. I don't like to, you know, this is like another thing I don't like in the airport. Is like the airport is very bad about like segregating people walking traffic and driving traffic. And it's like I'm in this undergroundy parking structure, and like people are walking through here as they should be, it makes sense, but it's like it's hard to see them. There's huge columns everywhere. It's like this is asking me to hit someone with my vehicle. I saw this thing that pissed me off though. Okay, we all know I'm a pedestrian, a frequent pedestrian and a runner, and I saw this thing on some site that was basically a thing that was like, we should eliminate jaywalking laws because they're bullshit. And, you know, the case was made that they're bullshit because, you know, car companies basically determine the way that traffic works in the city and kind of change things around so that cities are less pedestrian friendly and so on. And, you know, they very famously like tore out rail lines like in Los Angeles and stuff like that. I get it. Makes sense. But and also they made the argument that like black people get busted for this way more than white people. So all these things I kind of get, and I get the argument. However, okay, let's address the race argument first. Isn't that the case of every single law? So while that may be a good reason to repeal some things, I think that's the case with most laws, is that they're not applied very well across racial lines. So like It doesn't seem like a great argument in favor of changing the way that we're doing a given specific law, right? Because like a law that applies, or an argument that applies to basically every law, I mean, that seems like more of an issue of the application of these laws than it is the law itself. Okay? Because I would be surprised to find out that, like, black people are jaywalking way more than white people. Because I'm like, I don't think that's fucking true, but okay. But Anyway, I just don't think it's a great argument against that specific law, because I'm like, I mean, this would be an argument against basically any law you could come up with, in my eyes, right? So, that's that. So let me say this. It's annoying to me. Like, I live in a place where it's not pedestrian friendly. If you walk in a crosswalk that's not a stoplight, people do not know that they're supposed to stop for you and will be very annoyed that they're stopping for you and, you know, make no bones about the fact that they're like, what the fuck? Right? And so I don't love that. I don't love it. I don't love that it's not very bicycle friendly. I don't love this. On the other hand, you know, we live in a city. I live in a city. And many of us do, where it's like, we have been forced to buy cars. I mean, you can't really not have a car, a lot of us. And so, if you can't not have a car, then you kind of have to have a car. And if you kind of have to have a car, I don't know that, I think that there's some good to a jaywalking law, and here's why. Some recent experiences, like, including, you know, I had those folks cross, like, right in front of my car, 10 feet from an intersection, you know, where at an intersection you're expecting people to cross, right? Whereas at a just a sort of random spot, you're not expecting people to cross. You're not expecting people to cross the road in front of you, right? And it was dark and like whatever, and I almost hit these folks with my car. I mean, it was a super poor choice of a place to cross. Now, and this has happened to me more than once. So I think that it's a bad idea. It just pissed me off. Because also, whenever something pisses me off, I read the comments, which is like the worst thing you can do in your entire life is read the comments and something. Because everyone was like, yeah, fuck that. You know what I mean? Fuck cars, fuck motorists and whatever. And I was like, I'm with you to an... It's one of those frustrating experiences because you're like, you know, I get what you're saying because I've been there. I am you. And also it's frustrating because you're like, I feel like you're not representing us and our concerns very well. Because the other thing is, I don't want to hit you with my car. And so like, I don't want people to cross at non-crosswalks and shit because I don't want to fucking hit you with my car. Like, I don't want to. I do not want to. I can promise you that there's no part of me that wants to strike you with my vehicle. I mean, and it's not just like, oh, that would ruin my day. It's like, listen, it's just, you know, it's a bad idea. It's a very bad idea to do this. Anyway, that was just like a time killer, I guess, and I killed it. So I'll see you in a week. I'll be a new man. In a way. And an old man, in a way. And I'll see you then.